Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. That is the sound of Wayfair workers who are protesting outside of the company's Boston headquarters now. They're protesting executives' refusal to back out of a sale with a government contractor for furnishing a federal detention center for migrants near the U.S.-Mexico border. Joining us from Copley Square is WBUR's Simone Rios. Simone, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hey, nice to be here.
Listeners, we want to hear from you on this as well. What do you make of today's walkout? Do you think Wayfair has an obligation to consider its employees' values? Would you walk out on your company if you disagreed with its business practices or values? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. Okay, Simone, what happened today at Wayfair's offices? How many people turned out?
So it's hard to get an exact number, of course, but I would say there were upwards of 1,000 people, if not more. Some of the people who came out said they felt the need to do something about the detention situation on the border, and this was the impetus that allowed them to come out and protest. We know about 550 people signed the letter protesting the sale to the company contracting with the government on the border, but many more joined from an array of different groups and folks just coming on their own.
And what led to the walkout specifically, Simone?
So Wayfair employees say they found out about this order to a company called BCFS to provide furnishings for detention facilities on the border. It's a firm that identifies itself as a global system of health and human service nonprofits. So apparently the workers tried to handle it internally before the story got out. But when they were unsuccessful at convincing managers to reverse the order, they decided 2 days ago to start organizing this walkout. I spoke with Madeline Howard. She's a seven-year employee of Wayfair from Jamaica Plain. She told me this afternoon that ultimately this is about the company's core values.
We really need to make it clear to them that there are consequences for doing the things that they've done and that they can't meet us with half measures. And also, we want to make it a place where we're proud to work. Everyone deserves a home they love. That's sort of the company motto. And we think this action, profiting off of selling these beds to these border camps, just flies in the face of that.
Simone, yesterday the company responded in written form, saying in part, quote, "It is standard practice to fulfill orders for all customers, and we believe it is our business to sell to any customer who's acting within the laws of the countries in which we operate," end quote. How did that land with the staff of Wayfair, and what else has the response from Wayfair been?
Well, first of all, it's debatable whether this practice of detaining children for more than 72 hours is in fact lawful, so that's not a clear-cut answer there. I'm still waiting to hear from Wayfair, but I did get a brief response from the contractor, BCFS. They said, in a quote, "We believe youth should sleep in beds with mattresses," end quote. They directed us to the Federal Department of Health and Human Services, and that was it.
All right. Were there any counter-protesters there today, Simone?
I tried very hard to find some naysayers, and there were almost none. I did find a gentleman named Rob Burke from Milton, who's apparently a regular gadfly at progressive events in Boston. He had a lot to say about the immigration issue, sort of trying to put the problems at the border and the detention of children on the Obama administration. Let's listen to what he had to say about today's protest.
They're upset about the company, their company, delivering product, selling product to a nonprofit that is putting this situation in beds, okay? The beds or whatever the materials to keep these kids because they're getting jammed up by the Congress and not being allowed to allocate any money. So there's a political problem here.
Okay, Simone, what happens next here?
Well, just on that last note, apparently the Senate has approved funding for the border, and now it's up to the White House, not Congress, to decide whether that's going to get allocated. So just to set the record straight. So I'll say, you know, Wayfair announced it was donating $100,000 to the Red Cross. The employees I talked to questioned the relevancy of this. They want the profits from this sale. It's a $200,000 order, and the employees think that the profits amount to $86,000. They want that money to go to an immigrant aid group in Texas. That said, the protesters I talked to seem to feel optimistic about the prospects of further change resulting from this controversy. What that means is they want Wayfair to stop profiting from companies involved with the detention of children. It seems like there's a lot of tension within the company, with top executives reportedly struggling with the idea of not filling orders to people in companies for political reasons, so long as they operate within the law. But again, I should say that advocates in recent days have called into question whether the government is doing that, for example, by holding children in detention for more than 72 hours.
WBUR Simone Rios joining us from Copley Square. Simone, thanks so much.
Nice to be here.
Again, listeners, we want you to join us in this conversation. Do you think about a company's values or politics when you decide where to spend your money? Have you ever boycotted companies that take a different stand than you on social or political issues? What do you make of the Wayfair employees' decision to walk out of work today? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or tweet us at Radio Boston. Joining us on the line to talk more about that is Bob Forent, a labor historian and a professor of history at UMass Lowell. Professor Forent, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Good afternoon.
Also with us is Devra First, food writer and restaurant critic for the Boston Globe. Welcome to you as well, Devra.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And we should mention that we invited Wayfair to join us and comment today, but they have not yet responded. So, Devra, let's start with you. You wrote a piece for the Globe last month about how you discovered that the family behind JAB Holding, which is a parent company of your favorite coffee, Peet's, had actually been staunch supporters of the Third Reich and had built their fortune on Nazi Germany's forced labor system. What is happening today with Wayfair isn't quite the same, but does get us thinking about how consumers grapple with things like this. What are you gathering from today's walkout?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously there's a big difference between a consumer decision to switch coffee brands and an employee decision to protest the way that company that pays you does business. It's much higher stakes. But again, it does get to sort of the issue of personal choice and where you draw your moral line. In the story that I wrote about Peet's Coffee, I really used that news peg as a jumping off point to talk about consumer choice and what our responsibility is in terms of morality. And the conclusion I came to is that it really has to be on a case-by-case, person-to-person basis. So I think it's the same with Wayfair. Where do you draw the moral line in the way that your employer acts or in the way that the company producing goods that you want to purchase acts? And so I think that's going to be very different for everyone. And many Wayfair employees who may have been looking to do something about the detention of migrant children at the border, as I know many of us are looking to do something for them, this was a real opportunity to actually take a stance very publicly.
And Professor Forent, what are your initial reactions as well to what's unfolding today?
First off, I thought that the workers were brave to do what they did. You don't often see people potentially jeopardize their job. Usually in an organized workplace where there's a union, you at least have some protections when you strike. But to do it in this particular instance and tie it to obviously a social issue that's incredibly important and in the news every day for the last several weeks really speaks, for me at least, highly of the Wayfair employees. Hopefully Wayfair realizes the high quality, I think, of the people that are working for them. And it's in a tradition in American history there around South Africa, the apartheid system in South Africa, other instances where dock workers in the United States would refuse to load ships, would refuse to remove cargo from ships coming from certain places in the world. There's that tradition. There's also, going to the consumer aspect of it, the tradition with support for the United Farm Workers a couple, decades ago, boycotting Red Coach lettuce, boycotting Gallo wine, boycotting certain grapes that were picked as workers were trying to get better working conditions for migrant laborers in the fields in California and Texas, Arizona, New Mexico. So this really, for me at least, in terms of the history, this fits in a pattern of workers sort of stepping to the fore and demonstrating solidarity with an issue bigger than simply their single workplace.
So let's go to a call here. Bill from Newton, go ahead.
Yeah, I just had a question. You know, at work, do you discuss politics? Do you discuss religion? I didn't think you'd be able to do that on the table without getting fired. I think if I went and protested one of my customers who I didn't agree with, I think I would get fired.
You think the customer would fire you, Bill?
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think, what did it cost Wayfair today in general? Not only today, but in the future business? Would I be fearful if I was buying from them and they protest me? I don't think it did them any good at all to do this.
Great. That's helpful. And let's listen to Mandy from Holton, Maine, too. Go ahead, Mandy.
Yeah, I don't understand either why they're doing this. I mean, the workers at Wayfair, they don't know where these products are going. It's not like we're supplying them with, you know, torture devices. We're giving them beds. We're selling them furniture. That's exactly what these people down there need.
So Professor Foran and Deborah Furse, we saw pictures on Twitter of hundreds and thousands of people, it looked like, not hundreds of thousands, hundreds and thousands of people downtown. But our callers are saying, no, they should be at work. This is not appropriate. And there does seem to be a difference between how you think about it when you're spending your money and how you think about it, to our first caller's point, as an employee. So what is the distinction when one cares about issues deeply?
Deborah, do you want to go? Or?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, as you said, it is really brave of these employees. They are taking a risk. And I think, you know, these aren't ordinary times. And, you know, this issue gets people where they live. And I think it speaks to sort of the strong moral feelings that people have about it, that employees are doing this. Does it harm the company? You know, potentially, I think, really, you know, I don't know about that. You know, you can think about precedent and, well, what happens the next time, say, a bakery refuses to make a wedding cake for a same-sex couple? You know, the same people who don't support that might support, you know, this Wayfair protest. And it's a similar issue. You know, so again, you draw your own moral line. I think the situation with kids being separated from their parents, denied comfort and care, and made to take care of one another is a clear moral line for a lot of people, particularly when this is a company that does sort of center around the notion of home. And these people come here looking for a home. So they might have, you know, donated furnishings to furnish homes for refugees without charging. Or, you know, they might have refused to give this furniture to the camp and donated that money to an organization that would support these children. They could have used this as a really good PR opportunity that would have drawn more good employees to them who wanted to support that. Instead, I think that they're left with, you know, I've seen some very high profile people on Twitter saying, you know, I'm not going to patronize you anymore. And I think they really missed the boat on that one.
All right. So Professor Foran, you know, Forbes actually wrote an article suggesting that people sell Wayfair stock because they thought they'd done a poor cost benefit calculus on how this was going to play out financially for the company. And 547 employees did draw a moral line, to Deborah's point. When they signed the petition, they asked the company to stop. Corporate leadership refused, saying that it respects diversity of thought and that it's their business to sell to any customer acting within the country's laws, though they noted that such a choice doesn't necessarily indicate support of, you know, the specific opinions or actions from those entities. Some might actually argue the company doesn't have to take note of their employees' care on this. They can do business with whomever they want. Do you agree? Is that Wayfair's prerogative?
I mean, ultimately, in the economy that we're living in, and, you know, for publicly traded companies especially, if they make the argument that they're doing this to protect shareholder value or whatever, they can make a decision that they want to make. And then from the perspective of the employees or the community that finds out about what they would think of as an adverse behavior, then they can use their consumer power to, you know, to strike back in a way and say, well, you've done what you've done, and now we can do what we can do because we think that you're doing what you're doing is wrong. And I do think the question of them, as one of the people that was interviewed earlier on the at the demonstration said, well, it's the law in terms of them saying, well, it's legal because, you know, we can sell to anybody upholding the law. I mean, that's up for big debate. The fact that people are being held longer than 72 hours is, as far as I understand the laws, illegal. And so just that alone calls into question. The other thing is, it's simplistic, I think, to think that the only way they were going to get the beds is for Wayfarer stepping in, and that somehow this large conglomerate that's doing the supplying is some noble nonprofit. I mean, the prison for profit system and everything else is raking in incredible amounts of money on the border with all of the detentions that are going on. So this is a much bigger issue. And again, I think that the same way that that the column that raised the issues a couple weeks ago about Pete's Coffee and made me think where I got my coffee, it's why I try to buy fair trade coffee, sort of does say to consumers, and we're in that kind of a climate, you do have choices when you buy stuff. So do you want to buy sweatshop clothing, or do you want to buy clothing that's made, you know, by workers getting a living wage? I mean, there's a multiplicity of things here we can think about. And this, to me, this calls the question. This says to people, well, here's the issue. What side do you want to be on? And so if the callers have their perspective on this, and certainly I would imagine Wayfarer could fire those workers if they wanted to. I'm not sure they would now and get even more public backlash. But
so, Dr. Fern, I want to call the question for our listeners again, to use your line. Listeners, call in and let us know what you think. Where do you come down on this? Do you vote with your feet at work as well as with your dollars as a consumer? And how does a company manage its obligations to the interests and needs of its customers if those come into conflict with the interests or needs of some of their employees? You can reach us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. I'm going to take another call. I hope I get this name pronounced correctly. I think it's Bridge from Framingham.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. My view on this issue is that I don't understand how denying mattresses or beds for children actually helps the cause. Meaning, I agree that they should not be detained and all that, but it's like denying food and medicine or any other comfort, like water. How does that help the actual issue?
So, Bridge, are you saying that in your mind, by the employees walking out, they're advocating to take away or not provide beds for families or children in detention centers?
I just feel like the protest is misplaced, meaning I understand the view behind it, that we should not detain children and not separate children from parents and all that, but there should be other ways to try to impact that. Withholding basic necessities like water, food, medicine, beds, furniture for the children that are being detained for the right or wrong reason, I don't see how that helps. That's all.
Bridge, thanks so much for that call. Let's invite David, calling all the way from Alaska, to join in, too. David, go ahead.
Yeah, I've got a couple of comments. I was in New Zealand in 2015. I'm a Kiwi who lives in America. And I watched when Donald Trump started running for presidency. Our conversation in New Zealand, which has always been kind and polite, started to get very ugly and boorish, which has increased. And I think the problem we have right now in the States is that the only rights we really have as citizens is the right of boycott.
So, David, how do you feel about this boycott in particular? How do you feel about the Wayfair employees today who have walked out?
Well, it's going to be taking care of especially children, the vulnerable, and I think we need to be considering how we do our boycotts. But in general, I agree with the principle, just because corporations right now, we don't live in a democracy anymore. We live in a corporocracy.
All right, so let's talk about this that's a little hard for me to say, David, but what you said, corpocracy. And let me turn to our guests. Deborah, first, I'll go to you first. Is this sustainable for employees to walk out to place pressure on a company like Wayfair, given the tensions between the need to do business and the employees' call to be socially responsible?
Well, I don't think that employees do this except for in an extreme circumstance. And, it is the company's prerogative to do business as it wishes, and it is the employees' prerogative to protest. And I think, you know, if Wayfair wouldn't sell the beds, someone else would sell the beds. You know, I think it really is a person-by-person, case-by-case decision on where you draw your own personal moral line. Yesterday, the CEO of Highlights Magazine, a kids magazine, released a statement condemning the situation at the border. You know, if a company wants to take a stance, it can take a stance. It can be done if the company chooses to.
So, Professor Warrant, will Wayfair eventually have to answer to their employees in some way on this? Do they risk anything if they don't, if they just full speed ahead with the contract?
I think they could go full steam ahead if they wanted to, or I think they could listen and try to figure out, and maybe, as was suggested, figure out a way to make a comparative donation to people providing legal aid and shelter and support for people, for migrants, for asylum seekers trying to come in over the border, so that there's a more even-handed approach. They, again, I think that in the times we live in, they can do what they want. I mean, the workers then can, as was just said, workers can then exhibit their own behavior, and I'm sure all the workers that participated this afternoon fully understood the risk involved. And I think, to the earlier caller's comments about, well, it doesn't make sense because the kids need beds. Of course the kids need beds, but they needed beds 6 months ago, and they needed beds 5 months ago, 4 months ago, 3 months ago, and now, in a way, because of this and the other things that have happened in the last several days, to draw more attention to, you know, what's been a humanitarian crisis for months, people are at least beginning to act. Congress is actually, for, you know, sitting down seriously and talking about money and what to do and, you know, all the rest of it. A light's being shined on the problem. And so I think that's more, I think in the end, the people at Wayfair, we're probably thinking more that's what's going to happen out of this necessarily than we're going to change hearts and minds in the corporate suite.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I do want to make sure we get at least one more call in, Professor Warrant. Let's take Paul from Roxbury.
Hello.
Hi, Paul. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. I was just going to say, like, you guys just mentioned, like, it was supposed to happen 6 months ago, 3 months ago to get these beds. But we're talking about the government, which, and it, nothing happens quickly. So if Congress and President approve funding for beds and things, it's going to take 4 or 5 months. Wayfair people doing this now added another 6 or 4 months to provide services that's highly necessary to take care of these kids, push back again 5 or 6 months. These are individuals who, without the knowledge of knowing how the government works, try to do something that's going to hurt those kids even more now.
So Paul is saying, Deborah First, and I want to apologize, Dr. Forrent. I said Dr. Warrant for a second there, but Deborah First, Paul's saying...
All right,
that
I'm not under arrest.
There we go. You know, but kids are suffering in the meantime. So where is the urgency, and how do we think about the needs that children have under the current circumstances, regardless of how you feel about the circumstances themselves?
I mean, there's a lot of companies out there selling beds, but if Wayfair feels strongly that they need to get beds to these kids ASAP and they've got beds, you know, if they might want, they could donate them. You know, there's a lot of ways around it. And I just, you know, I feel that Wayfair has said where it stands on this issue, and I think that's fine. And now the employees get to say where they stand on the issue as well.
Professor Forrent, this has been such a lively conversation, and we've had some strong views from listeners. So longer term, what do you think we're going to see from here? How will Wayfair have to deal with this going forward?
I think that probably if they get some blowback from perhaps shareholders, investors, other people in, you know, higher up inside the corporation, if perhaps other of their offices around the country have similar activities, it may push them to do something and become more involved with humanitarian aid for people on the border, but on the other hand, they might try to tough it out, thinking, if we give in to this, what's going to come along next? But I do think this is such an urgent issue and something that profoundly affects, you know, so many young kids that they've now got themselves in a really sticky situation when people watch their ads on TV.
Yeah.
And if they make the association in their brain, you know, when they sing that Wayfarer jingle that, you know, we're now equating Wayfarer with the border, that's not very good PR for them.
That's Bob Forint, a labor historian and a professor of history at UMass Lowell. Professor Forint, thanks for joining Radio Boston.
Thank you.
And Devra First, food writer and restaurant critic for the Boston Globe, thanks to you as well.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, what to make of the commercialization of Pride Month. I'm Tiziana Dearing, and this is Radio Boston.